Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode here on the Dom and Colin podcast. It is about all about the challenge here. See, I take like 2 weeks off and I don't even know how to open up the show anymore. We are back here to talk about another episode of the challenge, season 35, Total Madness. I am back after a couple weeks taking care of some stuff. And thank you very much to my co-host, who is, of course, here today, Scally, for holding things down in that time. Scally, how are you doing today?
Hello. No, I'm good. Welcome back to you as well, not just the audience, but coming back right in time to see the demise of the Holy Trinity. Not great timing. It's a very upsetting, but yes, here nonetheless to discuss what was a pretty fun week of the challenge.
Yeah, I feel like I missed so much. I mean, in the entire, you know, I watched the episodes, of course, and of course, like I said, listened to you and Colin and Haley. But I feel, you know, Tori, Jordan, all gone. Bear, like all the entertainment, or at least just the bear. Bear is all the entertainment, is now gone out of the house. And now we start this episode off, we lose Big T. Like, this is a depressing couple of eliminations. I mean, not my favorite.
Yeah, elsewhere we've had some good boot orders going on, but here recently, not even all my favorites going out, but just a lot of like very big characters that you may used to be relying on for a season. And I'm looking at the cast list, and while I still like a good number of people, I was maybe rooting for some of the eliminations to go the opposite way over the past couple weeks.
Yeah. Just looking back at those, the Tori elimination was, the fact that Tori and Jordan were able to go back to back, I'm not sure which one of you mentioned it, but the idea that like Jordan was trying to potentially get on the same plane as Tori, I was like, oh, that's a really good call. I had not thought of. I would not have been surprised if that's what he was going for. You know, he's been talking about so much how he's trying to get her, you know, his first win and her first win. And, you know, that obviously didn't happen. So at this point, why stick around? He has nothing left to prove. He's like, I have three wins. I have no reason to still, you know, try to show anybody what I can do. You know, pretty tough elimination with him with the shoulder. That was hard to watch at a certain point. And you know, funny that I'm also mentioning the Tori versus Jenna, because here we have in this episode, we're swinging right back around to Jenna, as she last time was ready to go home, but also put in effort and ended up winning. And then here we have in this episode today that she is on her way out and, you know, she put in some effort this season, but it seems like at the end of the day, she was just done.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about the manner in which Jenna ends up going home here. I think a lot of people made really horrible decisions, and we'll get into that as we go. But Jenna should not have gone home here. Basically, I don't think it's the right move for almost anyone. So I'm very interested to see if there were things that like we didn't get to see, and like, oh, Jenna did really want to go home and just like made it look close type thing. And that comes out in the next couple weeks. But I think it was an aggressively bad move for, you know, a lot of people to be throwing Jenna in here.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have a lot to break down with the tribunal and those picks, because I was also confused. I was like, I feel like there are so many different directions that I thought it would potentially go in, and then throwing in Jenna when, you know, she seems the most defeated, the most likely, like the kind of person that you want to keep around, because she'll end up getting rid of herself. So why don't you just put in, you know, I mean, whatever, we'll get back to that. I don't want to, you know, get it all out here at the beginning, but I also wanted to, of course, mention Kayla is going to head out here tonight, which is, I mean, Tori, Jordan back-to-back, Bear, Kayla back-to-back. I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, I think maybe, like I had said with Jordan, like, all right, worst case scenario, end up on the same plane. Kayla might have had similar thoughts of like, all right, maybe he hasn't left yet, because I know that Bear is one to pull that move where he kind of like sticks around, and the challenge as a production team is like pretty lenient in like, we will buy you a plane ticket, but if you want to stick around, like you pay for your own stuff and then we'll just change the date to a later time. So Bear is one to like, well, I'm already in a country that I didn't have to fly to be at, so I'm going to live it up while I'm here. So Kayla, knowing that, may have decided like, huh, I get a Red Skull or I party with Bear. I don't know the logistics of what actually did happen, but if I know that, I'm sure Kayla knows that.
Right. And the behind the scenes of it all is like, we all pretty much kind of heard about the Bear and Kayla cheating situation, like if not during filming, it was like very soon after filming, because people had spotted them being together back at, you know, Kayla had gone to the UK with Bear, and people knew that they were hanging out, that they were together in one way or another. I think everything on the show gets spoiled, but it must have been spoiled pretty early if they were posting pictures together that, you know, that something had happened between the two of them. So, you know, really not surprising when you kind of put it all together and see how this plays out so close to him leaving. So Kayla's gone, Jenna's gone. Nani is now friendless in the house. I mean, she's got the boys that she's friendly with, and we saw in this episode her putting in some work to kind of find a path for herself forward. But the unholy trinity just going out two out of three in one episode is a pretty impressive feat for how good of a position they seemed to be in at one point.
Yeah, it's wild. And like I said, like where I didn't understand why Jenna goes in here, maybe like we've said, Unholy Trinity as a block of three women like this late in the game is like a big number of votes considering how many people we're getting down to. So maybe it was just like, all right, like they're gaining too much power and people really wanted to break that up. But still am confused how all this unfolded.
Yeah, and let's just talk about this here, because there's obviously a lot to get into with the episode, but Kayla and Jenna's future on the show is something that I have been thinking about since the episode ended about 13 minutes ago. Kayla is somebody who obviously has been getting the calls. She got a couple of years, you know, two seasons off or whatever, but I personally don't think that they're done with her, especially Bear's going to be back and they're going to want the Bear and Kayla thing. So I'm not really worried about her, but like, what are we getting to the point where Jenna's going to stop getting the calls, or is it still just she's the first person on the roster for, you know, an alternate, and that's always going to land her a spot here and there?
Yeah, I think the alternate is like the spot for Jenna, where like they're not going to lose her number, especially if they call back Zach, which like hopefully not. But like they're a part of this for so long. She's like very easy just to sub in at the last minute, very agreeable. But and I think that had she actually gone in and like not competed well in the last two eliminations, I would have been more in question for me. But I just feel like we're not losing Jenna here. And as for Kayla, I really was not sure we were ever going to get her back again after her break since Vendettas. I started to lose hope that she would be coming back. Now that she has come back, I don't feel like she, I guess with the whole Bear storyline, she does have something, but I don't feel like it was as big of a success as I was hoping for, and I'm sure that probably the producers were hoping for. I think ultimately, if Cara Maria stays away for a little longer, it's definitely going to help Kayla's chances in terms of being on the show.
Yeah, I feel like she, I mean, especially the fact that Kayla and Bear obviously did not last. We know that Kayla is currently dating Sam from X on the Beach 4, whatever it was. So, I mean, I don't know that Sam is necessarily going to be getting the calls to come on just because he's dating Kayla. In fact, I really doubt it because he doesn't seem like very compelling television. But I can easily see them wanting Kayla back in the house and like, is she going to cheat on her boyfriend again with Bear? You know, extremely funny line from Wes at the end of this episode where he says, I hope you're alive. Are okay back home, as both of these two end up going back home to try to like work out their respective relationships, which turn out Jenna's turns out to be okay because we know that they got engaged, and Kayla obviously no longer with her ex and now with Sam. So these two had quite the season that had nothing to do with, you know, competing towards the win. It was just kind of being there for the television aspect. So and then also, if you I'm sure you have plenty of closing thoughts on Big T as we say goodbye to her.
I kind of suspected this might be a thing as soon as I saw her on crutches. I don't even know if I noticed it on the first watch because I was either like taking notes or like drafting a tweet or something, but I saw her with crutches on the second watch for last week and was like, oh no, this is not good. So because she was like, I'm gonna sleep it off and I'll be fine, like they said that, and I was like, I don't think you're on crutches if you're sleeping this off. So pretty much had come to terms with this, but like I said on last week's podcast, I do feel like if they were not interested in having Big T back, we would not have dedicated so much screen time to someone who ultimately was like medically evacuated from the season. And I think going out here like Big T did was pretty much her best case scenario, because she was probably going to get thrown into an elimination and get embarrassed very soon. So I feel like she was fine. I think we'll see her back.
No, I fully agree. I think this is not best case scenario to get hurt and get three stitches kind of thing. But obviously, like the fact that she did not go in and like have some kind of conclusion to her story where she goes out at the hands of, Anissa in this elimination, say she got thrown at or whatever it was. So, you know, the fact that she still has more story to be told, I feel like it's kind of like a Natalie Negrotti kind of path where, you know, Natalie got her three seasons and by the third season, it kind of felt like her story really didn't have anywhere else to go. And, you know, maybe they'll pick her back up in the future. But at the very least, Big T feels like she still has that one more season in her to see where else this goes. It's not, you know, it's not like we saw her out here like hooking up with people or making specific connections. So that's a little bit of a red flag. But like the fact that she's able to rely on just herself and her personality to be, you know, something that shines on the show, that's easily something that will continue to make them interested in her. So I think, you know, I would put pretty good odds on her being on the next season if and when they're able to film it. But, you know, after that, it obviously is pretty heavily dependent on her performance next time. So sad to see her go here. I'm not sure if you checked out her interview with on Challenge Mania, where she talked about the injury. It sounded pretty rough about how she sliced her toe open.
Yeah, not so great. Like, they was like the drawers on the beds yeah. were like sharp, like not good. Didn't want to hear that. But in general, like the thing that I did take away from that is where like Derek says, even like off the record, Bananas was like reaching out to him and be like, Big T is like the funniest person. Like, so the fact that he's talking her up when she's like a relative rookie, like he has no reason to be doing it off of the record. Like, makes me think like these people really do like her. She's actually that funny, and that I think that she'll be okay coming back.
Yeah, we should probably do like some kind of look into other seasons with such a strong rookie class. And I know that Big T is on her second season, but like kind of still count her here. She only was on two episodes last time. And when you look at these Big Brother people, when you look at Jay, even the people who went out first, maybe not Jennifer, but Asaf, like this was a pretty strong rookie class, especially since half of them are still in the game. So, you know, not sure what we would be comparing it against, but whatever we are comparing it against, I feel like this season is pretty high up there. So these guys are making the mark.
I mean, we did have War of the Worlds 1, which ushered in like many, many strong and memorable characters. So I think that that was a recent one. But especially compared to last season, where barely anyone stands out, this season is a very strong group.
Right. So maybe I should add the note of only apply this to seasons where half the cast is not all rookies. And that's the point of the season. maybe that'll be it. Let's swing back around to the eliminations later and the tribunal of it all. Let's unpack some of the stuff that happens in this episode with lots of drama with Josh and with Swaggy. I mean, to start at the top of the episode, we are obviously back after the Jordan elimination, Wes and Bananas doing one of their typical confessionals about how, you know, they had full control over Jordan going home, which, I mean, the only thing about that I really need to flag up or want to is the fact that I was surprised to see Bananas so invested in Jordan going home. I thought that they were working together, but maybe it's just Bananas has realized, you know, wow, I actually am getting farther in the seasons than I usually do. This is going pretty well for me. And if I do want a legitimate shot towards the end of the game, Jordan can't be here anymore.
Yeah, I think that now that he has Wes, there's no real need for Jordan. And Wes is a less threatening Jordan in the finals, so there's really no reason for him to hold on to him any longer, especially because Jordan's unpredictable. Like, if you anger him, it's not going to go well for the future. So look for the Bananas Jordan feud on season 36, maybe. But ultimately, I don't think that keeping Jordan would have outweighed the negatives of facing him later on. For sure.
And I really haven't sat back to like until I think I just said that to like realize that we're in what, week 7, 8, 9? I don't know what week it is anymore, but like Bananas and Wes being this far into a season these days feels pretty extraordinary. So I don't know. I guess props to them for that. But I mean, shows what happens when you guys work together instead of targeting each other early. It again seemed like a no-brainer move. And it, for some reason, took them 2 or 3 seasons of both of them being back on together for them to figure it out. So I mean, it does look like there's some trouble in paradise next week, but we're getting down towards the second half of the game. So who knows? I doubt that they're going to be able to stick it out together until the final. And it seems like we're getting signs of that not being the case. But let's, you know, let's just use this to set up the Josh versus Swaggy, because that's another thing that gets set up early in this episode. Josh is talking to Nani and to Kayla about how he's worried about Swaggy and Bailey because they're working with Wes. And Wes was obviously pretty upset in that last elimination because he was talking about how, like, people knew about this. People knew about the fact that, you know, they were going in and, or I think specifically Bear was going in and he was getting betrayed. And Josh is all fired up. And this Josh versus Swaggy is really starting to get going here.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere at the end of last episode. I was surprised to see like Josh not be, I mean, you knew he'd be on the outside of Team Big Brother, but I didn't think that they would be actively working against each other. But the fact that they brought up Bailey and Swaggy, and also Maddie here, I caught that they used her name. I guess she's getting thrown in with the Corey, Nelson, Fessy, that whole group. She does seem to be with them a lot and standing up for them. So it is interesting to see Josh be like the, you know, attempted ringleader, at least, of this side of the house.
Yeah. And what do you make of like this Wes, Swaggy, Bailey alliance? Like, Who do we give the most credit for in this? I mean, maybe it's just mutual that both, you know, both parties get credit, but I can't tell who it's benefiting more, for Swaggy and Bailey to be linked up to Wes, or for Wes to have these two rookies as he usually does, and these two are working out for him a lot better than some of the rookies have been in recent seasons.
Yeah, as far as who do I give the credit for, I would say that we've seen Wes is one to reach out to lots of people preseason. So if I'm going to guess who did the reaching out, probably Wes. But as far as benefiting, it seems like this has been very much mutually beneficial. I think that we kind of need to see, we've yet to see either of them really cash in on it necessarily, but I think that Wes needs to have numbers, because, I mean, even though Bananas kind of lost to tonight in Jenna and Kayla, I think that Wes came in with less numbers than Bananas and needed to have some people in order to have leverage in that relationship. And then obviously Wes flags up that like rookies have never gone this long without getting a single vote against them in a season, which I would probably fact check. But ultimately, like, yeah, it's been impressive that they have not even come up on anyone's radars.
Yeah, I don't know about coming up on people's radars, but what's that guy's name? Johnny from
Johnny Riley.
Johnny Riley, that you know, made it to a final without any. Did he not go into an elimination? Yeah, he. Yeah. I feel like he kept not drawing the skull.
Mm-hmm. Again, two seasons ago, look at Turbo. Not one elimination. That don't think well. He got one vote, and he won the season. So, right.
Yeah. So again, I mean, agreed. Probably should get that fact checked from for Wes there. But you know, so we have Swaggy and Bailey still obviously in a good on a good page here. Fessy just got thrown in last week, but at least he, you know, won that elimination, came back in, and then the other person in this Big Brother 20 group that is still in the house, all of them still sticking around so far, and we're past the halfway point. Casey's finally going to get some screen time tonight. The first thing she tells us in this episode is that she envisions herself every day in the final and winning this. She's talking about her mom and how her mom, you know, keeps her motivated to be here, and she's feeling unstoppable. We're going to end up seeing in this episode, Casey throws herself in during the nominations. She volunteers to go in. I don't know if the writing was on the walls and people were kind of talking about how it's Casey's time, we should probably throw this rookie in, there's no reason why not to. And then she just used that as an opportunity to throw herself in. But, you know, the story we're presented here is that she threw herself in. And of course, we're going to see she goes on to beat Kayla. So Casey is finally making somewhat of a name for herself, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've thought was happening with both Bessie and Casey these last 2 weeks, where somehow they have not even come up as a name, probably because they both seem relatively intimidating for one of the vets to want to target early on for a Red Skull. But we're getting to the point where, like, these people are all, you know, friends for many years, and you got to throw in someone. So them being pretty good challenge competitors, I think it's kind of like, I could try to scramble, but I've seen how this goes the last couple weeks, and it's better for me just to say my own name at this point.
Yeah, she's obviously been making connections. She's been making friends. It's funny to see that group of Casey, Nani and Anissa that were, you know, getting into a bit of a disagreement a couple episodes back with the Nani and Casey situation. And then here we are in this episode, they all go out and they're all seemingly just fine again. They're all sitting at the table having a talk. Nani's telling us more about how she really likes Casey. They just vibe well together. And I mean, whether this is, you know, a romantic or physical kind of connection that Nani feels towards her or not, it's still, you know, they're vibing. They seem to be on the same page, or they seem to be on a good page together. And, you know, if Casey ends up getting a call back, who knows if she gave the producers what they were looking for. Does seem like that would be a number probably towards Nani's corner going forward.
Yeah, I was actually questioning some of Nani's decisions tonight, but very impressed with her social game overall this season. I know on Anissa's Challenge Mania interview, she said that, like, I came in here, I thought Nani'd be my number one, but then I saw, like, the Holy Trinity. So even for the fact that Anissa came in here saying, like, oh, we're such good friends, and then she's able to win over Casey this season and, like, numerous others, I think Nani is underrated socially even.
Let's talk about Nani. She is somebody who obviously lost these two allies here that, you know, we've mentioned that a couple times already. I feel like I have a hard time getting too down on her for some of the things that happened in this episode. I'm curious, obviously, to hear what your take is, but I feel like she was playing such a sticky game here with things out of her control. The fact that she was aligned with these two girls who, you know, in any other circumstances, both very decent to good competitors, people that are good allies. They were good socially with other people in the house. But Kayla being distracted by Bear all season and falling into that trap, and then Jenna having the Zach situation happened, it's like both of these things completely out of her control. Like, what was she to do? I would say, obviously, she was very frustrated this entire episode about Jenna and how Jenna is just a hindrance to her game at this point because there's nothing she can do for her to make her happy. And she's just kind of getting in the way. So it's like, you know what, if you want to go home, pack your bags and head out. So what are your takes about Nani and what she saw, what we saw from her today?
I really don't get, I mean, at the end of the episode where, let me see exactly what she says, but basically she's like, you know what, I'm better off without Jenna here. And it's like, wait, what? Like, I understand that, like, you're a little exhausted from, like, trying to talk her into it, but I can't tell personally, because Jenna gets frustrated at people, like, talking at her and, like, not just not letting her vent or whatever, which I understand. Like, I can complain sometimes, but I do wonder, like, is Jenna the type where, like, you have to just not entertain it? Otherwise, she's gonna, like, dig herself into a hole and get more and more down. And Nani knows that, and that's why she's shutting her down. But for her to get to the point of saying, like, I am better with her not being here, like, does not seem correct at all for me.
It doesn't seem correct on, like, a normal circumstance, but I don't know that I disagree with her here just because of the state that Jenna was in. Like, there's definitely more and more and more and more that we did not see from Jenna with all this going on, because when literally everybody in the house is talking about how Jenna just looks like she is ready to go, and Jenna's telling us, like, and telling us and telling them during that, you know, deliberation that, like, I'm sorry that I've been like this. I'm sorry, but I really do want to be here. I'm just, you know, complaining, and this is how I am. Like, I feel like the situation with Jenna, like, they were probably being generous to her by not showing everything and all of her freakouts and every meltdown that she probably had to Nani. Like, it seemed like it was really bad. So I obviously take what you're saying about how having Jenna in a challenge house is much better for Nani than not having her. But at this point, it's really, you know, Jenna's not working the strategic or social game. Jenna's literally just a person in the house that is just probably distracting Nani from being able to go out and game, because she has to sit here and babysit her every night and talk her off the ledge from going home.
Yeah, the babysitting aspect definitely is fair, but in terms of, like, them not showing when Jenna's blowing, like, why would they not, kind of? Like, they had plenty of screen time to fill when they separated that one week into two, so I don't know why they would be protecting Jenna all of a sudden, but I really just, I don't understand it. It's someone who, like, it's that she'll get thrown in before Nani. She's an automatic vote for Nani. If Jenna wins into the tribunal and Nani wants to go in, then great, she'll throw Nani in against her preferred opponent. So it's just, I understand the babysitting aspect, but ultimately I think it's like, I would almost rather give up on the babysitting, and if she ends up quitting, she ends up quitting. That's one less person here. Like, harsh, but she was willing to lose her in an elimination, so we'll be willing to lose her to a quit instead. But I don't think that she needed to. It seemed like she made zero argument for Jenna at this point.
Yeah, and you know, we see as she ends up voting for Jenny both times when we go to the votes. To pick who's going in, she picks Jenny for Kayla, you know, when everybody else picks Kayla and when everybody else picks Jenna. So she's obviously loyal to her friends when it comes down to, like, actually saying names, but she clearly wasn't invested enough to stick her neck out. And I'm sure she could have convinced Wes or, I don't know, somebody else in there to go a different direction if she wanted to. But I mean, Kayla, what the hell was that? I have no idea what dropped, but it's okay. I'll get it later. She obviously did not, you know, wasn't going to fight Kayla, who was saying that she wanted to go in, and she wasn't going to fight the people that are voting in Jenna because people were probably just annoyed with it at this point. So, yeah, you know, again, rough episode for her. And
my thing, though, where we get to the point, and that's why I'm questioning if there was this, like, realization in the house of we have to throw in the Holy Trinity, because when we get to the point where Nani's not willing to say either of their names and Kayla is saying, please throw me in, I want to go in, I get that, like, she's already going to say Jenny's name later, so you may as well say it again, but, like, it did Kayla know, like, I'm getting thrown in, so I may as well volunteer, the same logic as the other two? Or, like, why was Nani not willing to say Kayla's name there?
I don't know. Yeah, it probably just didn't matter at a certain point. You know, there's five votes. Four of them seem pretty solidly going on Kayla, and she was ready to go in. So probably just didn't make a difference.
The only thing that was making me question if there was, like, this realization that, like, all right, some of the Trinity's got to go.
Yeah. Anything else on Nani and the Jenna frustrations before we bounce out of that?
No, I may get back into it as we, you know, get to an elimination if I remember anything, but as of right now, I think I'm good.
Sounds good. And the other side of this deliberation of the other possibility that we were tracking the entire episode was you guys jinxed it last week. You were talking about how Dee has been off screen for a while. You know, she came in, got a couple episodes, and now she has been disappearing. And of course, the very next episode, Dee is back in the spotlight as Dee is going to talk to Rogan early in this episode and say, listen, Jenny is a big threat and we probably need to throw her in soon. And Rogan's looking at her like, why are you saying this? What are you talking about? She's your number one. Like, the entire game so far, Jenny's been your number one. So if you're willing to get rid of her, I mean, I don't know that he would be as concerned about this because, you know, what does getting rid of Rogan do for her at this point? He's there, you know, it's she wants to get rid of the top female contenders. So Rogan probably is safe just in that aspect. But, you know, it's like if she is willing to turn on Jenny, she could be willing to turn on you at any moment. So I guess why he's concerned. But this is a very, very sloppy episode from Dee here.
Yeah, it is aggressively bad. I don't understand what Dee is doing. I think this is the type of move that could have, like, really negative impacts on her game for the next, like, five seasons. It, you know, that, like, she just reveals herself to be completely, like, slimy backstabbing while, like, ultimately not following through with the move and, like, but backstab Tori and Jordan, you know, in order to give Jenny the Red Skull, but is now trying to make sure Jenny also does not make the final. It's like, what are you doing, Dee? Like, I don't understand, and I have much less faith in her as a strategist after this episode.
No, you're totally. I could easily see her being, like, the first boot on the next season. Like, she has a Red Skull, right? Yeah, she beat Ashley. So, I mean, I guess she could have been an early boot on this season as well, pretty much kind of for the same reason, I feel like. People were not trusting her at that time, and it seems like she's not doing much to change that. So I don't know if she's going to get some friends back, if she's expecting that Ninja's going to get back in here sooner or later, which I hope not. But yeah, she's really not setting herself up very well. As this episode goes on, she's just consistently, you know, let's, you know, talk also about the fact that Rogan goes out of his way to tell Jenny about this, which makes it even worse, because as Jenny finds out about this, you know, they go out this night and Jenny is very aware of what's going on. She's picking up on all the signs that Dee is acting differently. There's a different vibe and it's pretty clear that something's going to happen here. So, you know, it's bad enough to make a move against your closest ally, but to have the information known before the move even gets made and then the move not to get made, like, nothing could have gone worse.
Yeah, just the second season in a row that, like, Dee is, like, unflinchingly loyal to Rogan. And he's like, nah, gotta get her out of here. We're done with her. Ditch her. Totally done. So for him to backstab her again, it was like, oh, my God, like, such flashbacks of last season. And was kind of laughing about it only because she brought it on herself this time. Last time I felt bad for her, but it was like, no, you did this. Like, this was your fault. So I really was just not, like, thrilled to get more Dee and Rogan screen time, but was just kind of laughing at how she is orchestrating her own downfall for seasons yet to come, apparently.
Yeah, and let's, I mean, The later on at the nominations, I wanted to talk about the dynamic with Jenny about how she was like talking over everybody, or she just wasn't able to talk. Like, is this something that we've known about Jenny in the past, or is she like, I feel like this came out of nowhere that everybody was like, yeah, you can't get in a word around Jenny. I was like, oh, she talks a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know this at all. It almost felt like they weren't taking her seriously at all. So I was like, is Jenny bad socially in this house? And like, they're just making fun of her and finding things to make fun of at this point. But like the fact that Corey was like, I'm going to stop you there. Like, you're done. Like over and over. I was surprised to see that, like, and especially for them to be doing that and then not to follow through with throwing her in was such a weird edit decision by them. Like, for me overall, I did not understand what happened.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I could not believe that just the way that it looked, the way that we saw it, the fact that Jenny was not the one that ended up going in. They really seemed like not a single person was vibing with her. And D, especially being the one that was pushing for this to happen, you would have thought that she would have pushed for them to eventually go with this. I don't know. Maybe they had, you know, I think the first step in this, I have a hard time skipping around. So let's just talk about this now, I guess, with the decisions and then everybody that, you know, the way that the votes come play out, because they obviously talk to Kayla first and they get Kayla's decision of how she wants to go in and she would like to face Casey, which already confusing to me because I thought they were aligned. They seemed to be working together at least one or two points in the season. So that's confusing. Step one. And then, so if they have that elimination set, it's Kayla versus KC. And then they're trying to figure out who to put up against Anissa. Are they looking because they like, are most of these people aligned with Anissa? So they want to get her an easy opponent. Is that why they pick Jenna? Because they probably imagine if they put Jenny against Anissa, Anissa's going home. And that's like not what most of them want to do. So I guess the way I'm sounding it out right now, it's starting to make more sense, but it's still felt a little weird.
Is this team so close to Melissa that she wasn't an option? Or like, why was Maddie not in consideration? Like, if you're looking to get rid of, like, I want to get rid of Jenny because she's strong, then why are you not calling Maddie in for those same reasons? And you could say, Melissa said she didn't want to go in either, or Jenna already has her Red Skull, so we're not going to call her in. Like, why was Maddie just given the free pass from not going in this week when you're considering backstabbing Jenny, who has the Red Skull? And also not looking at like Melissa as another option to be throwing in if you want to give Anissa like a relatively fair fight or easier competitor.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm starting to think that Anissa must have been the main priority here, because when you look at the tribunal, who was it? It was where did it go? It was Wes, Nani, Bailey, Corey. Corey probably has a decent relationship with Anissa. I don't know about D. And Bailey and Anissa. Yeah, absolutely. So 4 out of 5 people here that definitely wanted Anissa to stick around. I get that Melissa is probably like close to being somebody who, you know, you'd feel comfortable sending in, but like Melissa still had that beastly elimination against Sylvia a couple seasons back. And anybody who remembers that probably wouldn't feel the most comfortable with this. So I think, you know, between Jenna being all annoying to everybody, talking about how she wants to go home and just seeming checked out, I guess that was the best chance for them to see Anissa get a Red Skull and come back into the house.
I think I'm taking Jenna in most eliminations over Melissa. And I love Melissa and like think that she's, you know, underrated and like think that she's performed well in the past. But I think Jenna's skill set is just much more widely like decent in most arenas.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. It's only because Jenna is currently falling apart, walking around the house moping, and she is just looking ready to go home. That's what I'm saying, that I just think she is so defeated. And I know that people thought that last time, and I know that she's still saying right now that I'm not defeated, I want to stay. If I wanted to leave, I would have packed my own bags by now. But like the vibe that everybody seemed to be getting in the house, and the fact that Nani was this fed up, she must have been just mopey every single second of every single day and seemed like somebody that would just be ready to go home. So
yeah, that's the thing, is that like we see it in like an hour and a half of TV a week where she is complaining for days on end, and trust me, I could complain, especially if I am in a bunker, but like if I know I'm in that position where like I should not be complaining because it's negatively going to affect me, then yeah, not doing great for Jenna there.
Yeah, what do you make of Corey in this tribunal as he's like asking every single person what do you have in this for me, what am I going to benefit from this? I feel like I think you talked a little bit with Colin last week about how you have felt good about Corey's edit at the very least this season, and I fully agree with that. I easily see him, you know, like, I don't want to call it a winner edit, but like, he definitely has one of the best edits. So, I mean, I am just surprised to see him taking such an active approach to the game, where he's like in front of other people, you know, everybody's there, and it seems like he's worried about like, what are you going to do for me? He's like looking at Melissa. He's like, Kyle, Bananas, Rogan, Wes, Josh, all of these guys that I know that you have on your list before Corey. So what does Corey get out of this?
Yeah, I mean, we've said like in past weeks where it was weird to see someone like Josh stepping up. Corey is a more veteran player, but he is also in there with a Wes, a Nani, a D, who are all like very active game players. And, you know, two out of three of them have a more veteran status than he does. So to see Corey stepping up was definitely interesting, because obviously I'm sure that all of them were talking, but for them to highlight Corey was interesting. I really did like his point when Jenny was like, if I come back, I'm coming for you. And he was like, well, then good, because I want a red skull. So I was like, ooh, Corey like is actually learning and thinking this season. I thought it was like a good rebuttal. And to see Jenny like not have like a great answer for that was very funny.
Yeah. And to close out my thoughts with this tribunal, I just can't stop thinking about the when they were interrogating Jenna, and it was just so awkward. The fact that she was sitting there like apologizing, like, I'm sorry I'm so annoying. I'm sorry I complain all the time. I'm sorry that I suck. Like, just every single thing that she was saying, like, she clearly was like, she, I believe her that she didn't want to go home, but the fact that she had all of this like apologizing to do, to include to people, including like her best friend in the house, and to Nani, and to somebody who she's known for years, and Wes, the fact that she had to sit here and be like, guys, I'm sorry, and even Corey, like, it really must have been bad is what I'm feeling.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I agree. Like I said, it's very different when you're watching it for, you know, a few minutes out of the 90 minutes a week versus living with it.
Right. Anything else that you had from this the tribunal, or do you want to talk about the votes as well, specifically how these votes end up playing out?
No, good with the tribunal. Nothing really there. I thought it was interesting to see Melissa like calling herself a weaker competitor, saying like, save me for you guys to go against later, but otherwise pretty standard here.
Yeah. So let's back it up. I might as well touch on the challenge briefly, because something that happens in the challenge is going to affect one of these big blow-ups that we're going to get to in a bit as well. The challenge called Tunnel Rats. Again, some pretty boring challenges this season. I was a little afraid of the fact that they were just dropping themselves into these tubes to go into the sewers. Like, I easily would have expected somebody to like smack their head on the ground on the way down.
100%.
It was pretty scary. I get why. Like, I would have been Melissa in this case. Like, the fact that their arms were above them, like, it just seemed so easy to get stuck. That was strange to me.
Yeah, you saw, like, I even noticed, like, Corey, who is, like, a wider guy, like, it was just awkward. It's not like they, like, climbed down a ladder and then, like, let themselves go. Like, Corey was, like, lowering himself in, but his shoulders were too big, so I was, like, so scared his chin was just gonna, like, hit the that was terrifying. Like, once they were in the water, I was like, I'm not worried about them smacking the water, but just like falling through the tunnel, I was like, ah, please, no, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, like if it was like a slide down something where you could like, you know, lay your whole body back and go down, but the fact that like they were just literally dropping from the air into a tiny little circle, like maybe the circle was bigger than it seemed on TV, but it was pretty scary to watch. I was nervous every time somebody dropped. But this is, you know, another typical go get puzzle pieces, go solve a puzzle. Really nothing too exciting here. I don't know where the challenge budget went for this season, but they did not go too hard with these. Double female elimination, so pretty important tribunal to get into. The teams that we have are Casey, Fessy, Jenny, and Nelson, who don't do too well. They end up losing in time to Kyle, Bananas, Jenna, and Rogan, and Melissa. Rogan, you know, highlight here is Rogan trying to do the puzzle and then not getting it. So he is not. Was he good on the puzzle last season at the final? I'm trying to remember.
I think he was. I mean, he made it over Tori.
Well, yeah.
So
I guess he was okay.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he ultimately seemed like he was putting in the last couple pieces on for his team. And I think in the challenge where it was like the shipping crate like flipping up and down on each side, like he was relatively involved. So I think Rogan is like an average-ish puzzle competitor.
The disappointing part of this for me was the fact that Kyle and Rogan were on the same team and did not seem to get any disagreements or not getting along at all. You know, it's been a couple episodes. I would not mind some Kyle making fun of Rogan confessionals.
Yeah, definitely overdue. I love how Team One just has four players because Big T went home. It's just like they're at a complete disadvantage and it's not acknowledged whatsoever.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. They're going to keep going because we see later as Swaggy can't swim, somebody has to get pieces twice. And it's like, well, this team also has to have somebody get pieces twice. But yeah, we can easily just brush past that. No problem. Casey is not. No, I have nothing to say about Casey. Nope. I had a confessional written down from her, but it's so unimportant. The only time that they give her time, besides the fact that she went in this episode, is like during the challenges. That's like her spot. Wes, Nani, Corey, Dee, and Bailey obviously end up winning this challenge. They seemed to have a pretty easy time getting in and out of this thing, getting into the puzzle. Everything goes pretty well for them. But on the other side of them, in the other tunnel, you have Josh, Maddie, Anissa, Swaggy, and Kayla. And the big problem here, Swaggy drops down and into the sewer, into the tunnel. He can't swim. He goes into panic mode. Seems to be in the water for, who knows, a minute or so, 2 minutes, it seems pretty quick, calls for the medic, and he gets disqualified from the challenge. And then, you know, the entire team is still allowed to compete, but Josh is complaining the entire rest of the challenge because, first of all, he had to get the extra puzzle piece for Swaggy, and then by the end of this, when they go to do the puzzle, he's not given a chance to try the puzzle, and then he feels that's why they lost. So this falls apart for this five.
Yeah, a couple things. We flagged up in the draft that Swaggy had trouble in like a pool he could stand in Big Brother, so it was not surprising to see him have trouble here. Hopefully for the next season he's on, he does take time and learn to swim, just because ultimately he's pretty lucky in the theme of the season being bunker related. So maybe the final won't have like an open water swimming element, but generally these finals are going to have some part swimming, and that is going to be a huge hindrance on Swaggy. But as far as Josh doing the puzzle, Josh almost went home on day one of his first challenge because he could not put like three pieces of a puzzle together. So maybe not such a bad idea to have him off the puzzle here.
Yeah, that's, you know, people forget about that, and people meaning me definitely forget about that. He's freaking out. And by the end of this, you see Josh freaking out on Maddie, and Maddie's trying to get him to calm down. So besides the Jenna situation where she's freaking out and we're not seeing a lot of it, I feel like Josh is in the same kind of situation where the entire time he's in the house, I feel like lately he has just been freaking out, paranoid all over the place, and people like Maddie even coming up to him like fuming, telling him, enough, relax, it's not even a guy's day. I was like, if you pissed off Maddie, like the only person that pissed off Maddie in recent memory is Ashley, and Ashley was like drunk and did this entire thing that got Maddie worked up. There's, you know, don't make Maddie mad.
Yeah, Josh is like flailing, and I don't know if that is him seeing like the writing on the wall as far as this season is starting to go. That just looking at the cast list, like maybe throw Josh in against like Kyle, but I'm not seeing too many other people, and or maybe Swaggy, but I'm not seeing too many other people that he really has a great chance against in elimination. But yeah, Josh is starting to flounder here for sure.
Yeah, and of course, funny moment as TJ calls out Swaggy's helmet being on backwards. So TJ making fun of anybody, laughing at them, always a good time, especially when it's Swaggy.
Yeah, and Swaggy was like blank staring. I was like, all right, that might be the screenshot for the podcast this week.
Yes. So this obviously is going to lead into, and we were talking about it earlier, that Josh has been pissed off with Swaggy. So let's go over to the bar scene where we see Josh is sitting at the table with Bananas, with Jenna, with Swaggy, with somebody else, Nani maybe? Somebody else was at that table. And it is time. It's going to get a little awkward here because they're just having a conversation. Josh and Bananas talking about how people in the house are fake. And all of a sudden Swaggy pipes in with some kind of comment about how, Josh, you're fake too. And Josh is obviously getting worked up. Swaggy blames it on the fact that Josh was drinking. And he's like, you always get like this when you drink. And I was like, no, this is Josh. This is just always Josh. Getting into a fight with the camera on, like that's definitely Josh. So yeah, this gets pretty awkward pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm starting to think we might owe an apology to someone, and that someone might be Gus from Floribama Shore when Josh claimed that Gus was trying to stage fights for screen time, because maybe it was Josh who was doing all of this. I think that Josh has been like I think you were the one who let us know that like Josh was maybe a last minute replacement on this cast. And so I think between seeing that he might not have the best chance there, getting a little worried about getting called back in the future. I mean, and also like Wes not entertaining their rivalry at all when he's like trying to start drama with Wes. It's like, who else can I start drama with? And I think Josh just is trying to find screen time here.
Yeah, I think the story was that Kyle, Ka not Kyle, Kara and Paulie, backed out, or they were taken off at the last minute, and Josh and Jenna were the ones who were jumped in for them. So, I mean, are we looking? I mean, we don't know how the season's going to play out with Josh. I can't imagine that it results in a Josh win. I would probably put him at the bottom of all competitors remaining to be the one that ends up going on to get the win here. I don't know if that's too dramatic, but do we see a potential where he's not on season 36? I feel like it's
I think,
possible.
yeah, it's definitely possible. I would say that we are still likely to have him, but I like Josh actually, and have come around to seeing him on the challenge, but I also would not complain about a break. But it doesn't mean I'm done with him in the long run over here.
Yeah, we've had a lot of do you follow Josh on Twitter?
I don't follow most of these people because they're not good at keeping their mouth shut.
Okay. Well, yeah, Josh has been having a rough time lately. And
I've seen that.
he's been getting a whole lot of hate from a lot of people. And I think he always gets that, but it seems like he's been having a tough time with it lately, which I hate to see because I really like Josh. I think, we've been pretty high on him as a television character, even if, his gameplay has been not the greatest over his past couple seasons, but I just saw a tweet from him a couple minutes ago. It says, "This was a really hard episode to watch. It sucks to have a falling out and have to relive it. Just want to say, don't have any hate for none of my castmates and wish them all the best. We are the only ones who understand how hard it was to live in that bunker." So, I mean, that's just him talking about it being hard to watch the episode back. But he had a couple of tweets like this pa the past few days about how he's just been getting a lot of hate and he's trying to rise above it. And people were reaching out to, throw some support, including Bananas and Wes both. Wes put out a tweet at one point saying, like, "Guys, lay off of Josh. I'm the only one who gets to make fun of him," which led into an interaction with Evil Dick on Twitter that I know you saw that one. So pretty
I did.
insane, pretty insane, how that all played out.
Yeah, I don't need Evil Dick coming into anywhere in this challenge sphere. Like, please keep him out. I don't need him. But good to see people standing up for Josh. Like, there's a difference between like saying here or to your friends or tweeting out or whatever, like, oh, Josh is playing up for cameras, and then people just like adding him, first of all, don't need to do, don't do it. And then just like spewing like vitriolic, like hate I have seen that like is going his way. It's just not cool. And it's unfortunate that I know that probably a lot of the cast members get it, but Josh has always seemed to be like an even bigger target for it. And especially like, I don't blame anyone for having a hard time with the current world situation. So definitely probably hitting him harder than would be otherwise.
And I just can't believe, again, with the Evil Dick situation, like seeing Wes Bergman take a Evil Dick tweet and quote tweet it and like go after him. I was like, 2020 is just wild. It is like, what a time. I mean, Evil Dick goes after like the easy targets in the Big Brother community. So to see like a guy who has got so much more, reality TV experience or whatever, Wes probably has a lot of things over Evil Dick. So to see him flagging him up on Twitter and kind of like actually standing up to him rather than it just being the same five Big Brother alumni that stand up to Evil Dick in one way or another was pretty funny or something worth
Yeah.
checking out.
Well, I was gonna say, I think they have like a comparable number of followers, but you see like the Evil Dick retweet get like five, like 100 likes, and then Wes gets like 3,000 like instantaneously. And it's just like, this is what I've been waiting for. I want like Big Brother contestants to like disassociate from him and like actually like not stand for it. And like glad to see someone, even if it is not like from the Big Brother community, to be like, nah, we're not dealing with this.
Yeah, no, stay away from the challenge, Evil Dick. That's fine. We don't need you over there. While I have this screenshot pulled up, of the Josh tweet, there's also a Kayla tweet here. She's quote quote tweeting somebody saying Jayla literally does everything together. And Kayla tweeted and said, except go to a final. So Kayla's good at making the jabs at herself. She makes that comment about how this elimination's about trash, which I get it. You're probably joking that I'm trash.
Yeah, I mean, did not go through my head, but I'm sure that there would be a couple people on Twitter.
Yeah, so I mean, look at them jumping ahead of the Twitter hate, like on the show. That's, you know, that's some progress. And then Jenna puts out a tweet saying, thanks for another crazy season. Definitely mentally, physically, and emotionally draining one for me, but I appreciate all the love and support from you all. A break is needed. She spelled break, B-R-A-K-E.
Oh no, Jenna. I mean, I expect nothing more and nothing less from Jenna.
But hey, a break is needed, regardless of how she spelled it. Maybe she is, you know, confirming that she won't be accepting any calls for the next season or so.
I mean, allegedly they, you know, switch off anyway, but I don't know when we were going to get into or if we were going to skip by it. There's a scene, which is weird now that I guess that we're talking about Jenna, where when Jenna tries to video call Zach, he doesn't answer. And then she goes into Nani and says, like, I don't blame him for not answering. I'm the one that fucked up. Like, it was me. Blah. I was like, are you admitting guilt to what he was accusing you of? Or is this just like him yet again convincing you you were at fault? Like, and that is more where I'm leaning towards, like in this like toxic relationship of like, I am mad at you, but like for like something that is not rational, but like it's still your fault. And she is like starting to buy into that. And like that was really discouraging to see.
Yeah, I at the very least, I'm just like I like Jenna and I don't mind, you know, I don't mind that she gets cast still in the show. I you know that some people, I think maybe you were kind of on the page where it was like, yep, I don't need to see her anymore. She's, you know, taking up a spot of somebody else that could have it. And I get that. I don't mind seeing her here, but like this season, I am just so, so grateful that she is now gone and she's taking the Zach drama with her because it's just not, I don't need it. I don't need it at all. So, I'm glad that she's happy. I, you know, wish it wasn't with Zach, but if that's what makes her happy, I don't know. That's it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So
yeah,
it's over, which is a good thing, but I don't know if we exactly finished. I know we got completely off track there, but with the Josh versus Swaggy situation, I mean, Josh throwing drinks at Swaggy. Swaggy obviously not taking that very well. Looked like, I mean, like Swaggy knows the deal that you can't hit anybody, but like when you get a drink thrown on you and you're a challenge rookie and probably don't realize the severity of like you literally cannot lay a hand on somebody else, like if security didn't get involved there, would Swaggy have thrown a punch? I feel like he would have.
Ooh, I don't know. And I don't like to like put that on someone without having like the, like, I don't have like a history of Swaggy, like doing that on another show or having done it on a past season. So I don't really feel like I can speak to that. But as far as Josh throwing the drink, I know that the challenge wants to allow stuff like that because they used to allow like full out brawls on the season and like, oh, then finally we'll step in and maybe kick someone out. But throwing a drink in real life, like you can get pulled in for like assault. So it's not cool. And that's where like Josh was getting super animated and like, I get it. I can get loud and like not realize it. But ultimately, like Swaggy was not wrong in being like, okay, you're getting loud. Like be like, calm down. Like, this is not a thing. But then Josh like throwing the drink, it was like, all right, you lost me, I'm out. Like no matter what you said, what you did, like I'm not on your side anymore. Like and jumping up on the bar and screaming, like you are looking for airtime and you are bringing this to another level that like it was not at.
Yeah, I just think like any rookie, whether it was Asaf, whether it was Jay, whether it was whoever, like you get a drink thrown on you. I mean, that gets anybody worked up enough to the point where you want to hit somebody. Mm-hmm. And I just think like the rookie factor is what would have potentially, like, you know, you don't realize, I think, right away. Then again, I don't know. I'm sure they read their contracts a million times. They know the deal. Yeah. So I don't know why.
And he's been on Big Brother. He's been on other shows. Swaggy is not someone who is like, you know, coming in here completely fresh and not having like, he's been a Big Brother challenge, whatever else fan for years, I'm sure. So I don't see that being just like and more so like throwing a drink is so disrespectful. Like I wouldn't blame anyone for getting like heated. Like, no, you should not throw a drink. You should not throw like fist or anything in response, but like it's super disrespectful.
Right. And of course we see Bailey jump in here, which to the surprise of absolutely nobody, Bailey's always going to stand up for her man. So she gets involved and she tries to tell Josh to calm down. She's, you know, screaming at him as well. At the end of the day, like, you know, of course she's going to stand up for her man. You know, nobody's, I think, holding that against her. She ends up trying to just calm him down a little bit, but it just sucks to see, you know, Josh probably could have had these two as allies and had them both as allies. And I mean, I get that they were playing with Wes, but they were also playing with Josh, and I don't know. Maybe he did try to talk to them and see where their heads were at and wasn't getting anywhere. It just feels like he did burn a bridge that didn't necessarily need to be burned. I don't know.
Yep. And for me, this is something that I could definitely benefit from a second watch and getting like the language right. But it did seem like to me, Bailey very much was like, you need to calm down. Like, I don't blame her for, like, you know, stepping in between them. And it seemed like tried to like de-escalate the situation. Whereas people, there was like a confessional or something where they were like, oh no, Bailey is going to like go off or like go off on Josh, whatever. But like, no, she was de-escalating the situation. Whereas like when Turbo and Jordan were getting in arguments or whatever, like Tori steps in and is screaming full volume in people's, you know what I mean? And it is not framed as like Tori's going to go off. It's Tori's defending Jordan, where like Bailey, it's like, no, Bailey is going to go wild. It's like, whoa, okay. Like, this is not, I don't feel like it was framed at all how Bailey actually reacted there.
Yeah, that's any time that Bailey gets involved with anything, they, you know, everybody always looks at her and they're like, why is this crazy lady going off to, you know, it's like, this is what they do. They have a very tight relationship, tight marriage, and or I think they're married. She's always going to go, you know, defend him. And, you know, like you said, she was trying to calm both of them down at a certain point. So security had done their part by breaking these two guys apart. And at this point, you know, they're still screaming at each other from across the bar when Josh like jumps up on this, on the whatever the hell that he jumped up on. Rogan's like, oh, we are not going to get invited back here. I was like, yeah, no, probably not. This contract is probably coming to an end soon with this bar. So I like also closing time playing during all this.
Yep, definitely a move. Like to jump up on this like glass looking bar. Josh is not like a small boy. Like he is definitely, you know, over 6 foot and like on the challenge. So he is just getting rowdy at this point.
Yeah. And then by the end of this, we hear from Wes, who is saying, you know, I need Swaggy and Bailey to, you know, be the bigger people here and know that the finish line is in sight. I need them to keep their cool and try to stay focused. Josh is not important, you know? So I think him being with them is a very good influence. And, you know, I was asking earlier who benefits more. They really all benefit from having each other. This is a pretty 100%. Mutually beneficial alliance. So we'll keep an eye on them going forward, especially as people are, you know, whittling away in this season. We are at the halfway point. What else from this episode here? We talked about everything else at the bar with Jenny noticing that Dee was not looking at her, Nani and Casey. We talked about all that. Should we get to the elimination or anything else that,
yeah, that's all I got left.
That's it, right? So, all right, let's talk about the elimination. It's called Bombs Away. We have 100 bombs, heavy looking, whatever the hell they were. You have to unload them from your cart, get out and go over and smash a button and then you win. We have Kayla versus Casey and we have Anissa versus Jenna. So Kayla and Casey are up first. They're both struggling a little bit, but Casey is obviously looking a little bit better as she goes on to win. A lot of grunting from Kayla. Casey's talking about how she's getting tired, but her adrenaline is keeping her going. And as we see Casey go on to win here, we get a confessional from Dee who says, you know what? After tonight, Casey is somebody I need to worry about, and I was not before. So, I mean, Casey got her red skull, so that's a good thing, but having more people notice you might not be a good thing.
Yeah, a few things where, first of all, Kayla like calls her shot and wants Casey, which I know Kayla and Casey are apparently close because Kayla's a Big Brother fan, but I feel like I don't know why she said that, oh, I've already beaten Anissa, so I want to prove that I'm not weak by going against Casey. It's like, or just take the red skull. So I don't think that she would have beaten Anissa here, but kind of a bad decision to be choosing Casey, I think, for Kayla. And then as far as her competing in the challenge, was not super impressed. For these are medicine balls. Stop calling, you know, like the challenge. Stop calling them bombs. The theming is not that serious.
Yes,
like,
that's what
they're medicine balls.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But like they're medicine balls. It's fine. But Kayla kind of like it never seemed like she really had a chance, I think, against either of them, but especially against Casey here.
Mm-hmm. Can I give you some breaking news? Are happening now. What's the Dom and Colin version of that? Stop that. Season 36 is apparently being filmed in August, is a tweet that just came across my timeline. So,
all right. I mean, I assume like everything's kind of up in the air, but it's interesting to see that they are at least thinking about plans moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, if the challenge can go film soon, then maybe Survivor can go film soonish. And I don't know if, you know, maybe they can't get on in the usual like September slot because they'll be filming probably until like late September. But November, December, I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely seems possible.
Yeah. So back to our regularly scheduled elimination recap. Anissa versus Jenna. Barbie Beast is back in action here. She looks pretty good. You know, even though everybody thinks that she's defeated, she is still giving her all. And as you know, she ends up losing here. She makes an effort to tell everybody back, you know, back where they were all standing. She's like, I did try. I don't want you guys to think I didn't try. And they're like, yeah, we know, go home. So Jenna is not going to win here. Anissa, who apparently is the elimination queen. I wasn't calling her that, were you?
I mean, she definitely used to be. I think that she probably has not fared as well recently, but Anissa used to have like a similar reputation that Wes used to have, I would say.
Probably, but yeah, the year is 2020, so I don't quite I don't quite call her that these days. But she, I mean, she has won eliminations in recent years, like and eliminations. I think one, I want to say, did she beat Veronica?
She beat Veronica 30? By like breaking her hand,
right? So, yeah. And she won her way back into the game, I think, right with the Redemption House.
About Dirty, I don't know if she came back or what. Dirty 30, yeah, but no, maybe. Remember.
Something like that. So
no, I think Jenna get back in by kicking her like off of the side or something.
I just remember Anissa doing a lot of eating, and I think
no clue.
I think her and Corey got back in.
I remember them like flirting and going on like dates in a different country because they were in the Redemption House, but I don't remember who got back in and when or why.
Right. All right, so the, you know, two elimination beasts, I guess, are going head-to-head here. Anissa pulls out the win. Nani talks about how it sucks to see Jenna go, but she didn't want to be here anyways, so it's better she goes home so that Nani can keep playing her game. And we're going to see Jayla heading off together, the two of them, you know, get to catch a flight home, but maybe not catch a flight home because it seems like Kayla probably went to go visit Bear after this, and Jenna probably got stuck on a flight by herself. So, yeah, that's the end of those two for this season. Maddie's a little jealous she didn't get her red skull when she might have had the opportunity to. This was probably an elimination for her, so missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, still though, I do think that Casey and Anissa were two that were like very well suited for this, so I think that I guess she'd probably want to go against Anissa here, but I don't think that was like a lockup win for Maddie. I think there are other eliminations that are better suited for her.
Yeah, probably. So that's what we've got for this episode. Next week is going to be trivia, it seems like. And we also have some Bananas versus Wes potentially happening. Could have just been, you know, a teaser or, you know, a fake tease. And they're just talking about how a lot of Red Skulls need to still be given out before the final. We're over halfway, so that means we're getting down to it. Time is running out and we need to get some more Red Skulls going. Fessy can't be the only one that goes to a final, so we'll see how that all plays out. But what else? You know, recording so soon after the episode, not much social media to check out.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it was weird the way that they were treating the Red Skulls this episode. Like people were like, if I don't get in this week, then like I might not get thrown in next week. And then I don't have a Red Skull. So I was like, oh, are there like two eliminations left? Like, are we really getting down to the wire? And they're like, okay, we're halfway. I'm like, wait, okay. So none of this makes sense. I don't know why they're treating it like this was like the second to last week to go in. But I mean, ultimately, I took stock of who does not have Red Skulls left. And we're left with the men. There's Bananas, Wes, Corey, Kyle, Josh, and Swaggy. And then for the women, it is only four with Nani, Maddie, Melissa, and Bailey. So some pretty big names, pretty heavy hitters. I think we're going to see some big eliminations coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we have to. It's going to end up being only people that have not had Red Skulls because everybody's going to need to get, you know, need to get thrown in. So sooner or later, they all will end up in there. What was I going to add? What do you think they consider the halfway point when they say we're over halfway? Like, I haven't done the math, but like, do they mean half of the contestants have been eliminated, or no, they can't mean that. It must mean like halfway through the filming cycle.
That's usually what I think, but I mean, I'm looking at it right now and it looks like there are five people ish from each. They've had five eliminations per gender. So I could see another five eliminations each.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people that are gone of a cast of 28. So yeah, not halfway in terms of people. It's got to be halfway in terms of filming. So
yeah, well, because there's 9 men left and five have gone home. So I could see five more going home, having like four in the finals, like War of the Worlds one, and then get like eliminated as they go. Probably I would assume there are going to be like 3 to 5 eliminations left, I would assume.
Yeah, that sounds about right. A draft update, if anybody wants. I was giving you guys an update after last week where you had been in the lead from about 1 point because of the point change system where we don't give out any points anymore for lasting longer in the game. So, you know, me having one more player over you wasn't really doing anything for me. But now we're tied up in terms of players remaining because I just lost Kayla, my first loss of the season, so not bad on that end. But I did pull ahead in the scoring. I now have 53 points from Wes, Bailey, and D all being in the tribunal in this episode. You are right behind me with 43 points. Haley behind us with 36 still in it, and then Colin with 21 points and only 3 players left.
Yeah, the person who was advocating for this rule change is definitely not benefiting from it either.
Yeah, I mean, it probably wouldn't be benefiting him a whole lot anyway. Either way, these 3 players would not be giving him a whole big push. It probably would be hurting him more. So maybe this is even proving his point. but yeah, so that's the draft update. Anything else before we are done for this week?
No, that's all my notes. Like you said, we're recording right after, so not much else to touch on.
Yeah, we've got some stuff happening this week. I'm doing some Thursday night random recording with Amon tomorrow. Then Friday is, of course, another big sequester game. We've had a lot of sequester games going on during quarantine that have been keeping us busy on Friday and some Saturday nights. So it's I still can't believe we're still in this, but it's you know, showing signs of maybe something changing soon. We're in like phase one now in New York, so we'll see how this all plays out. But yeah, that's about it for this episode. Of course, check Scally out on Twitter at Brian_Scally for all that good content, even though it is kind of slowing down with reality TV this time of year. Drag Race finale, so maybe we'll get some good tweets in there. I am on Twitter at Matt Liguori. And of course, if you are a Glee fan, if you have not checked out yet the Choir Room, please do so. Or if you know any Glee fans, check us out over there. Amon, Adwin, and I have been having a lot of fun recording Glee recaps. And who knows when, you know, that's going to slow down again because of the quarantine situation. Don't know when we'll be back at our respective jobs. But for now, we're just kind of pushing through as far as we can go and getting some content out. So hopefully you guys are enjoying that. And that's all I got, right? And anything else? I think I've already asked you that 3 times.
Yep. Nope. Still nothing else.
Okay. Still nothing else. So we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.